Learning counsel. Is it Benji or Benj?
Benj, Your Honor.
Benj?
May it please the Court, my name is Matt Manchay, and I'm privileged to be here on behalf of the petitioner-appellant Robert Benj. I would like to turn to the Sixth Amendment speedy trial issue, and I would certainly hope that there's not a question as to whether it was properly raised and exhausted. But the critical thing, I think, about this case and about this issue is that it's not just a Sixth Amendment speedy trial issue. It also involves the other important aspect of the Sixth Amendment, the right to counsel, because in the trial court, Mr. Benj was arguing against his lawyer in asserting his speedy trial rights. And in Powell v. Alabama, back in the 30s, we were told that a defendant requires the guiding hand of counsel at every stage of the proceedings against him. And certainly that was lost here. This is all sort of arises from the November 21st hearing, this excerpt E from the respondent's excerpts of record. And it starts, of course, with the Barker factors, Barker versus Wingo, the length of the delay, the reason for the delay, the assertion of the speedy trial right, and the prejudice. And the Court there said that no factor is necessary or sufficient, but in combination here, they establish a violation. Starting with the length of the delay, and there was some confusion along the way as to what that means. But in Doggett versus the United States, it was very clear, and it's been clear in all of the cases. It talks about the interval between the accusation and the trial. And in this case, that was a matter of 13 months. The State cites United States versus Valentine, where the Court said 6 months is borderline. And I would also cite the Court's United States versus Murillo at 288 F3rd 1126, page 1132, where it said that 13 months, the time period we have here, was presumptively prejudicial. And Murillo was a much more complicated case. That was a complex murder case which had death penalty implications. So certainly the length of the delay gets us started with the presumption that there was prejudice. The second comes to the reason for the delay, and I think we need to, again, look at the record, look at Excerpt E, and look at this hearing. The trial is set 7 months after indictment. This hearing is set about a month before trial. The Court comes on the bench, and the judge says, I hear there's a motion coming. I haven't seen it, but I'm going to grant the continuance. And this is after hearing the defense lawyer say, my client may have a problem with this. So without anything in front of him, the judge grants a continuance.
What was in the written motion that the parties didn't argue to the judge?
I believe that the defense lawyer said that it was a complicated case. That is belied by the record because at page 8 of Excerpt E, the prosecutor said, well, depending on your ruling about prior bad act evidence, this could be a 3-day trial. And the prosecutor quotes the defense lawyer on that. And the defendant, when he gets up, says, Judge, this is not that complicated of a case. I've been through the disclosure 3 times myself. And so the judge comes out and basically says, I'm going to put it off till the end of March without hearing anything. And that's when we get into kind of the minutia that the lower court talked about. We've got the prosecutor saying, well, I don't want it at the end of March because I'm tentatively going to a seminar the next week. That's at page 5. At page 6, the co-defendant, who ends up being severed, says he's scheduled to be out of town then and his second child is due. And how about the end of going into April? And that's when the trial judge says that's turkey season. He's going hunting, and so there's not going to be a trial then. The Court then suggests at page 7 that let's do it May 12th, and the defense attorney says that's okay with me, but it's not okay with my client. So, again, they're in conflict. The Court then continues the case until May 12th, and I'd submit to the Court that at a minimum this is negligence. I mean, it's not a matter of the State or the Court trying to beat up on Mr. Benj, but it is a matter of there being no good reason that this goes on for 13 months. The next thing that comes up is the assertion of the right. And, of course, Mr. Benj asserts it on his own behalf. He gets up and says, I object, I assert my constitutional speedy trial rights, and says, I want my lawyer to withdraw, his appointed lawyer to withdraw, if he can't be ready within a month of the scheduled trial date. And the defense lawyer says, okay, well, I'm going to move to withdraw. Mr. Benj again argues on his own behalf a speedy trial violation, and then the court at page 13 denies the substitution. And this is where the district court went wrong in its May 6th order.
Does California have a speedy trial act like the U.S. does?
I'm from Arizona, Your Honor.
What's that?
Arizona.
Arizona, yeah.
There's a speedy trial rule that sets a certain number of days.
It's a rule of court or rule of law?
It's a rule of criminal procedure. The Supreme Court.
By the legislature?
No, the Arizona Supreme Court by state constitution has the rulemaking procedural function. So it's a rule.
Was that violated in this case?
Well, in my opinion, it was.
The state court said it wasn't.
That's correct.
Okay. So now you have to rely upon the Sixth Amendment.
Exactly.
And the Sixth Amendment is more strict than the rule or less strict?
Well, that depends how you look at it. The rule talks about a certain number of days, and it talks about when continuances can be had and under what conditions. Obviously, the Sixth Amendment, it depends on the four-part Barker test. So you could have a case that the Sixth Amendment's violated, the state rule is not, or vice versa. But under these circumstances and these unusual circumstances, it was violated, the Constitution. The district court said, well, that after the judge said he was going to set the trial in May, that Mr. Benj may have withdrawn the objection by saying he would hold the court to that. But that is after he makes his argument. And the court recognized, the state trial court on the record in that excerpt E hearing, that Mr. Benj had objected to the continuance. And the district court also said, well, Mr. Benj didn't raise that again and held that against him. But what's he supposed to do? He's gotten up and over his lawyer's objection and not only demanded a speedy trial, but asked for a different lawyer. And despite that fact, he's told, no, you can't have another lawyer, you can't have a speedy trial. So I don't know what else it could be that he was to have done. Finally, the issue is prejudice. And, of course, in Doggett versus the United States, 505 U.S. at 655, the Court stated, and I quote, "We generally have to recognize that excessive delay presumptively compromises the reliability of a trial in ways that neither party can prove or, for that matter, identify." But what Mr. Benj interestingly said in his petition for habeas corpus was, I had another case in the same court and demanded a speedy trial and ended up getting it dismissed and I won. And the other thing that's of record in this case, on June 25th of 2002, Mr. Benj moved for appointment of counsel. And the documents that support that in the habeas demonstrate that he had and had at the time of trial an eye disease, that he'd already lost his sight in one eye and that he was losing the sight in his other eye, and that's essentially why counsel was appointed. And so there is prejudice, and if we add the four parts together, I would suggest to the Court that he did establish a speedy trial violation and a violation of the Sixth Amendment.
Thank you, counsel.
Good afternoon. May it please the Court. My name is Diana Costa. I'm from the Arizona Attorney General's Office, representing the respondents in this case. Mr. Benji is not entitled to habeas relief in this case.
Would you speak to you?
Mr. Benji in the Arizona Attorney General's Office prosecuted this case, and we were under the assumption that his name was pronounced Benji, so please excuse me if I keep referring back to the name that we've been using all along. Benji is not entitled to habeas relief in this case because his speedy trial claim is completely meritless, and the evidentiary claim is defaulted and meritless also. This was a very interesting case when it was presented at trial, but it gets even more interesting as the appeal process goes on because Mr. Benji keeps expanding on his claims. Petitioner now says that the speedy trial claim that he raised on direct appeal includes a right to counsel. That claim has never been brought at any point in this proceeding. Under the federal constitution does not require that the trial be held within any particular time period. And to determine if the delay warrants reversal, we use the Barker versus Wingo four-part balancing test. Normally, under the test, the delay is measured from the date of accusation. But on direct appeal in the state court, the only claim that was raised there was the 5-month delay between December and January. And under the state rule, the Arizona Court of Appeals found that there was no violation of the speedy trial right. On habeas, Mr. Benji specifically said that the trial court erred by using turkey season as a reason to extend the case beyond April 1st. So now he's only claiming that the 6-week delay between April 1st and May 12th was when his speedy trial right was delayed.
6 weeks? The judge went turkey hunting?
Well, it's very interesting because we're not exactly sure who. The record's not clear what that reference to turkey hunting.
Where they just fell off all trials in Arizona during turkey hunting season?
You know, Your Honor, I've lived in Arizona for 20 years, and I've never heard of turkey season, so I really cannot explain exactly what they were talking about. When they said, when the prosecutor says, well, why don't we go to on the middle of the early April or wherever it was, and the judge said, that's turkey season. And everybody just continued on. Nobody stopped to question. Nobody asked, what do you mean? Where are you going? Who's going where? No one said anything at that point. But the fact is that on appeal, Mr. Benji only was arguing that the 5-month delay violated his constitutional right to speedy trial, and now on habeas, he's reduced that to a 6-week period.
What did the state court say about turkey hunting?
Pardon me?
What did the state court say about turkey hunting?
Well, the state court looked at the delay under Rule 8 of the Arizona Rules of Criminal Procedure, and they found that the right wasn't, there was no violation. They didn't specifically address the turkey.
Did they discuss that comment at all?
No. Not, no.
They just ignored that reason for delay?
It was the delay that actually under the state rule did the amount of delay count at all? And because his counsel asked for the delay and that they found that in the justice warranted a delay in the trial, that time was what was called excluded time under the rule. So there was no violation whatsoever.
We're supposed to ignore the statement was made.
Well, that was the reason given, and for that reason, the trial was moved approximately 2 weeks. The record is quite clear as to who suggested what time the trial should be delayed after defense counsel initially requested the delay. And
so they said, how about the middle of May? And the judge said, well, that's turkey hunting season. And so then they scheduled it for when, 2 weeks later?
The trial was scheduled then for May 12th.
I thought May was the turkey hunting.
Apparently, the end of April was turkey hunting.
The end of April was turkey, and then they set it for May 12th.
Yes, that was the next, from the record it appeared, was the next available date.
So the delay that was attributable to turkey hunting was only 2 weeks.
Exactly. It was even less than what Mr. Benji is complaining about on the habeas. But the Barker versus Wingo test has a preliminary test of presumptive prejudice, and the United States Supreme Court has says when the delay starts approaching the 1-year mark, then there's presumptive prejudice, and that's a triggering mechanism to see if there should be any inquiry into the remaining factors. And this delay, whether it's measured in the 5 months that he challenged in the state court, or the 6 weeks, or the 2 weeks, or the 1 month, certainly does not approach the presumptive prejudice of 1 year. So we really, this Court should really not inquire on the other factors. His claim is meritless, and the district court properly denied the petition on the merits of that claim. Does this Court have any further questions? Then, exercising a moderate degree of common sense, I will sit down.
Thank you, Kat.
I believe I had about a minute left, and I just want to do a couple of things. One is I want to be clear. I'm not claiming a right to counsel violation, but it's just something that the Court needs to consider in the overall picture of the speedy trial violation. And as far as the amount of time that Mr. Benj complained about or the Court looked at, it's a matter of law that it's from accusation to trial is our position. And what – to the extent it might matter, what he said in his pro se petition was, I told the judge that I did not wish to give up my speedy trial rights, and I feel that if I had been given my constitutional right to a speedy trial, the outcome of my trial would have been different, period. And then the Court clearly erred by using the turkey season as a reason to extend the case beyond April 1998. And just if the Court has expressed some curiosity, because I'm from Tucson and practice there and know Judge Fields, that's exactly what he was talking about, is he was going out to try to shoot turkeys. And that was took precedence, but it did not appear in the state court's opinion. Thank you.
Thank you. The case just argued will be submitted. The Court will stand. It will take. Stand adjourned for the morning.